Let me ask you to find Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15 has been given an unfortunate title of the prodigal son. It really isn't about the son as much as it is about the father and how the father really lavishes on us. The son wanders and lavishes the father's inheritance on others, but God stays put. He's the great constant, and he lavishes on us. It is no good to believe in God if you believe in God wrongly or if you believe in the wrong God. Luke chapter 15 tells us about the nature of God when it comes to wandering, rebellious children. Follow along as I read this morning. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me my share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went, and he hired himself out to the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to eat the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, or when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here in hunger. I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hands. Put shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate because of the father. They began to celebrate because of the goodness of the father. I've heard it said time and time again the last week, New Year, new you. Well, that's fine. But for there to be a truly you new, it should start by addressing the spiritual emptinesses that you may have, or the spiritual sadnesses that you carry, or the spiritual neglect that you just need to deal with. Where are you wandering in your spiritual life? Where are you falling short of the glory of God in your spiritual life? How have you chosen to be a rebellious child of God? Are you living in denial, believing that you are in great spiritual shape? Do you even care about your spiritual condition? Your spiritual emptiness may not even be a result of open rebellion, but simply lack of effort. New year, new you, you would have to address the lack of effort on your part. If you live with an apathetic approach to worship or prayer or scriptural meditation or generosity or service, talk about new year, new you begins with understanding the loving Father. How do you and I get to a place of spiritual frustration? How do we get to a place of spiritual dissatisfaction? The younger son didn't just wake up one morning in the pig pen. It was a slow burn to get there. He ended up there by making a series of bad choices over a period of time. And that's how he resulted in a place a long way from the Father, doing and being a person he knew he was not called to be. Remember, he was always loved by the Father, but he placed himself in a position where the benefits of the Father's resources couldn't help him anymore. But the Father's love never diminished. Once you and I become a child of the Father, that relationship cannot be canceled. The Father will never leave you and He will never forsake you if you have legitimately made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 teaches us that God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family and to bring us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. In the Gospel of John, we understand in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave right to become children of God. Paul teaches the church at Galatia, and because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. Once you are a child of the Father, the relationship cannot be canceled. However, you can disobey your Father, you can rebel against your Father, you can break the Father's will for your life, you can impose your will over His in your own life. And when you do this, you put yourself in a place where the blessings of the Father's benefits are no longer available to you. That is where spiritual emptiness comes from. And if you're struggling this morning because you have a spiritual dissatisfaction or a spiritual emptiness, the first thing you have to do for a new year and a new you is to address, how did I get here? And the answer to that question starts with this restless attitude that we often have. You see, broken fellowship with the Father always begins with a restless attitude. The relationship with the Father is not entertaining enough. It's not colorful enough. It's not passionate enough. It's not fun enough. The younger son thought that the grass was greener on the other side. He thought that the grass was greener away from the Father. And he set out on his own, the Scripture teaches. And this restless attitude resides in each of us. We all have it. It goes by different names. Addiction, adultery, greed, bad attitude, casual sex, arrogance, pride, anger, grudges, laziness, consumerism, all of these things motivated by what the new generation calls FOMO, the fear of missing out, the fear of not being popular, the fear of not being on the latest trend and up with the latest bandwagon, used to be called keeping up with the Joneses. We need to recognize this dangerous feeling of restlessness and resist it like we would resist any temptation. Think about for a minute the pain and the suffering the younger son would have missed if he would have resisted this before he would have left home. If he would have just appreciated the benefits of his father, there'd be a lot less grief and a lot less pain and a lot less hurt. If we can recognize our restlessness and resist it, it's like a monster in a cage. As long as you keep it in the cage, it can't do anything but roar and make a bunch of noise. But if you let your restlessness out, then you're headed for heartache. In Colossians chapter 2, we see these words. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. All the world is full of hollow and deceptive philosophies. The tickling of our itching ears. The fanciful weaving of stories that make us think that being away from the Father is better than being with the Father. See to it that no one takes you captive. You have to be a willing participant in being taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Broken fellowship with the Father starts with a restless attitude, a genuine dissatisfaction. And that restless attitude deteriorates into reckless living. The younger son let the monster out of the cage. He let the monster out of the cage. No rules. I don't have to keep my daddy's time schedule anymore. I don't have to tend the crops and work the field, keep the barn clean. I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go. I can be who I want to be. I can waste this money on reckless living. If it feels good for me, then it's got to be right. What a terrible mentality to have. But that's the world in which we live today. You go do you, and I'm going to do me. And as long as you don't try to correct me doing me, we're good. Well, we're to help each other be conformed to the image of Christ. And when we try to do that, it becomes fighting words. You just need to let me be me. The son had this attitude, and he chose the attitude of reckless living. So many people I know, some of the people you know, maybe you are one of these people today who have just slowly and casually walked away from the Heavenly Father because you think you're better off following your own rules and your own heart and your own passions than what God has set out for you. The Bible teaches us that there is pleasure for a season. But when our reckless attitude or restless attitude deteriorates to reckless living, that can result in a ruined life. It can result in a ruined life. This is the problem with sin. It never truly satisfies. Once you experience the exhilaration and the high of the thrill for the first time, it's soon not enough. You need something stronger. You need something more sustained. You need something longer. One of the verses that scares me most in all of the Scripture is found in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. Again, Paul's writing to this group of believers, and he says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." It's the old reap what you sow adage. The downward trend of our life starts with a restless attitude that evolves into reckless living, and it can result in a ruined life. So how do we restore fellowship with the Father? Getting to a place where our life is messed up is pretty easy. We're pretty good at that. Seems to come pretty natural for us. So how do we restore the fellowship with the Father? How do we regain that position of the Father's benefits and the Father's blessing? Well, it starts with coming to your senses. He says in verse 17 that he came to his senses. He had this epiphany in his own mind and in his own heart. Wait a minute. This is pretty miserable. And it's all my fault. And then through a series of conscious choices and decisions, he decided to return to the Father. Before you can return to the Father, you have to first realize that the mess you're in, the emptiness you feel, is yours. One day he looks around at the pig slop and smells the manure, and he says, "Wait a minute, I don't belong here. I was born into a better family than this." If you've made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to a better family. He says, "I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of the slop. I'm tired of the anguish. I want to go home. I need my daddy." And the only way we can approach the Father who is on the porch waiting for his children to return is through these moments of humility. What has to happen in your life for the light bulb to come on? What has to happen in your life for you to approach your Heavenly Father and go, I've been lazy in my relationship with you. I have lost the blessing of my relationship with you because of my sloth. I've lost my relationship with you because of my rebellion. I've lost my relationship with you because of my arrogance and thinking that I can live a better life and have a better way and have a better plan. Some of you may be here this morning and go, my life ain't too bad right now. I'm not really committed to the things of spirituality. I come to church from time to time. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I'm not really in the pig pen. Perhaps it's the most dangerous for you today. A false sense of security. You may not be in the pig pen, but inside, something is keeping you from being all in for Jesus Christ. Something is keeping you from being all in for His kingdom. What is it? Why are you afraid of going back to the Father and being restored to your place in His family under His rules and His authority and His benefits and His blessings? It starts by coming to your senses. You need that V8 moment. When you come to your senses, then it's necessary to confess and to repent. In verse 18, he says, I have sinned. I have sinned against my Father, and I have sinned against heaven. And he confesses his sin. And confessing is not notifying God that you've done something wrong. God knows that you've done something wrong. Confession occurs when you agree with God that your behavior has been sinful. There's a difference. God knows that you've sinned. What God wants to know is if you know if you've sinned. And when you confess and acknowledge, you know what, God, this is sin, and I need you to forgive me for this specific thing, then you're agreeing with Him about the sin that is in your life. At the same time, you have to display remorse and regret over that sin. He said, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against heaven, and I'm sorry. Repentance comes out of that. And repentance is not just admitting that you're in the pig pen, it means that you get up and you leave the pig pen. It involves more than just a feeling of regret or a feeling of remorse. Repentance means that you're willing to walk away from whatever's keeping you from your Father. That you will change your mind about your behavior and that you will move in His direction. Notice the change. In the beginning of the story, He was saying, gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Gimme my inheritance, gimme my freedom. And after His repentance, He says, make me. Make me one of your servants. This is what repentance looks like. It is no longer about, Father, give me. It is about, oh, Father, make me. Make me into the image of your Son. David understood this in Psalm 51 after he had committed adultery and murder. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And then later he says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. What a great moment of confession and repentance. Confession and repentance pave the road of return. Confession and repentance pave the road of return to the Father. It was by an act of His will that He decided to demand His inheritance. It was by an act of His will that He decided to run away from His home. It was by an act of His will that He decided to live recklessly. It was by an act of His will that He chose to hire Himself out to someone who forced Him to slop the pigs. It was also by an act of His will to evaluate His life. It was an act of His will to get out of the pig pen. It was an act of His will to humble Himself. It was an act of His will to go back to His Father. If you're waiting for some magical potion or for some scripture, sometimes Facebook frustrates me to the point where I can't hardly see straight. There's a thing on Facebook now that if you push this little button, it says, what is the Bible verse for your life? And if you push it, then it gives you a Bible verse for your life. And I can't tell you how many times over the last 4 or 5 days I wanted to comment, the whole Bible is for your life. There is no one verse for your life. But you have to decide. There is no magic formula. There is no magic potion. It is you connecting with your father. And what happened when he got home? He never even made it to the house. The picture I have in my mind is that the day is coming to an end and the father's taking care of some last minute chores on the farm, the house, the ranch. Maybe he's up sweeping off the porch, praying for his son. And all of a sudden, as he makes the last couple of passes with the broom, looks up to survey the end of the day, he sees this shadowy figure way down the road. And he stops and he props himself on that broom and he looks and he strains his eyes to see. I recognize the walk. The frame is small, but it is. That's my boy. And he drops the broom, and in his exuberation, he leaps off the steps descending down from the porch, and he runs down this dirt path where he embraces his son at the crossroads of the driveway. He throws his arm around him and he hugs him and he kisses him. And he turns him around and he walks him back towards the house with his arm around him, just laughing and weeping and hanging on his neck. And as he gets back close to the porch, he says, "Hey! Hey!" One of the servants comes down and says, "Go get the robe! Go get the ring! Go get the sandals. Look, it's my boy. He's come home. He came to his senses. He heard my prayer. He chose to come back to live under the blessings of the Father." Whatever changes you want to make in 2020, it has to begin with the Father. It has to begin with the Father. The Old Testament prophet Joel writes these words, "Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for He is merciful and compassionate. He is slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish." The songwriter tells us that He's a good, good Father. Come to your senses this morning. Get out of the pig pen, whether it's of your own rebellion or whether it's of your own sloth, and get back on the road so that the Father can run to you and offer His blessing and His benefit. Let that be the new year and the new you resolution that you'd make for 2020.